Fas de mai is fad heriw de shach le. Mish Marilyn Crellin. I'm Marilyn Crellin and I'd like to welcome you to Shach Le. In Shach Le this week, in Shacht and Sean's Shach Le, you're no Michiawn Lothrian and Elian, a new book about the island's flora. Author and illustrator Rosie Greening and her book Blooming Marvellous, Manx Wildflowers, A Botanical Journey. As told you, Kieti Gus and Elian, Eric Erridge, and more visitors to the island recently talked to Ruth Kegan Gell. There are two concerts taking place this evening, Thursday the 7th of August. In Port Erin, the summer concert season continues in St Catherine's Church with the Glenfaber Chorale. That concert starts at 7:30. There's no admission charge. There'll be a retiring collection and refreshments will be available after that concert. If you're in Douglas this evening, you can go along to St George's Church and at 7:30 you can enjoy the music of the Castletown Metropolitan Silver Band, who'll be playing in the Willie Neal Memorial Band concert in aid of the Isle of Man branch of the Royal Artillery Association. And to support the association, there's an admission charge of £2. Ons fydd hi Jesus fydd, fe rola yn eich yr mach, jy loddrion ta ffeym cord o'n selion fannin. As fe yn hyd taws ulyw gwylach, jy stedus jy ulyw na caint yn loddrion dwch ysach o'n smannin. As adsyn ta soit jaw nish dy raw yn stedus sienoch, gerd y felad y jyt ca sianach ys fannin. Ta yr dyri yn dochymyd, dych yr enna e caint yn ta chit dy fe cagliat ons na bwyl red for the ad ges ons manan. Na jichyn dy noddach ad sgwyrf ai ges ons sio eich o'r a bi. Fan taws jint, jyn yw imi jay recortus yn loddrian, fa jint cyd yn dy flint yn edrych henna. As ta e rons e fe o'n ons na blint yn smw jay yn ach, el jay son siali ta en mysit new flora of the Isle of Man. Tad cwrs es gorysh solsach yn trech den yr olach yn. Cain yw son loddri yn mynd yn gawn nach fel bwyr y bion. Ombarach son loddri yn as nach fel yn ffôn yw och hwff ar ôl. As dyrg son loddri yn nach fel ges ac ons tri unid yn yn yslw ons manan. Dymi eich art ar rola dw o'n ys. Jai loddri yn ta e enna dyrawad yn es ond sio. Ach hanelad hwch edden ons ysted ffai. In December of 2022, Rosemary Greening was looking at the Manx Wildlife Trust's publication of the list of trees native to the island. That set her thinking and finding out more about the species of trees and flowers she enjoys seeing on her walks around the island and of which she enjoys producing pictures. Now she's brought her research and her artistic skills together.
The latest publication from the Machill-based Loughton Books is called Blooming Marvellous. Rosemary Greening, you're the author of the text and the wonderful illustrations in the book. What was the background to it? How did it come about?
It was a few years ago now. I stumbled across a publication that was an agreed list of native trees of the Isle of Man. Now, if you've ever tried to do anything by committee, you know just how hard it is to actually get everyone to agree on anything. But I delved into this list, and it basically led me down rabbit holes of research into what makes a native tree, how did they figure out what was native, how did it get here? And I basically went down a whole rabbit hole of research into the audits that have been done on our ancient forests. And there's so much information out there, which I love. And that's my thing. That's what I love just reading and writing about. And it started there. And I'd never even thought that I could write a book. But yeah, I sort of had a bit of time and a bit of inspiration. And yeah, that's where it started. And off it went.
The book is about the natural world, the various flora that we can find in the island. You must have a deep-seated interest in that side of things before tackling the native flora of the Isle of Man.
Yes, much to my mother's dismay, my habit as a child to get out of bedtime was to say goodnight to all the plants in the garden. So our tiny little I say it was small. My little courtyard garden, there were plants that were mine that I had planted. It probably weren't the ones that I grew. My mum has green fingers, I really don't. But I would insist on going around and saying goodnight to the strawberry plants that I had planted and the big pear tree and the lily of the valley bulbs that had grown and all of it. And ever since I was a child, I've just loved being outside, being in nature. I'm quite short anyway, so quite close to the ground. And I was always that child that just took ages to go on a walk because I was collecting leaves and feathers and stones, and I've just always just loved it, and I've just found that real spark of interest in everything.
And the text in the book is a very personal tour of the native flora, and I think it's rather nice that the fact it's your personal journey into it as well as all the different facts that you're portraying. So where did you find all that background information?
Well, so some of it is, as you say, is my story of the trip over the mountain road. I had had a conversation with, so I think it started with Jane Prescott, who's the Manx herbalist, who helped me find where some of the species grow on the island. I sent her a big long list and she took me on a tour. It was great. But one of those was the yellow-horned poppy, which is incredibly rare, only grows in one place on the island. And she said, oh, you know, speak to Philippa from MBN Atlas, who does a lot of the recording of, you know, where the plants grow. And I had this amazing trip where I called her and she's like, oh, there's some in flower. But it was one of those typical Manx weather where it had been glorious sunshine for a couple of days and then absolute torrential wind and rain. And she's like, oh, I don't know if these poppies are going to have survived, but if you're going to see any, you need to go in the next day and you need to go now. And so I took my little hatchback car, like, over the mountain road, through the mist and the fog and the blowing gale, like, during my lunch break, because I have a day job as well, in a desperate hunt for these poppies. And it was just glorious. I found it, like, on my trip back to the car. And so just, yeah, like, I've had so much help from so many different people. Andre at the Manx Wildlife Trust, he's definitely fielded a whole bunch of questions, I think, kind of delving into oak trees and native species. I've just had so much support because the Isle of Man is so great for that. There's so many people and places that, you know, are so invested in keeping this island, you know, such a wonderful place to live. So they've all been great. Like, I've had a lot of support from various places.
I mentioned that the illustrations in the book, which are a fundamental part of the book, a great attraction for the book. What is your background in illustration?
I mean, I think obviously most kids draw before they can write. I was very lucky that my parents always encouraged anything that was educational in our family. So we're a family of readers. And for me, while my family were all reading books, I was mostly drawing pictures. And I was just always encouraged. And I have done kind of teaching on the Isle of Man. So I've taught some botanical art sessions. And I have one of those brains that I see things, like whether it's a leaf or a branch or something, and it sparks something in my head. So I can always see things in my head before I try and put them onto paper. And I just, yeah, I see some of these plants and I just get the most amazing kind of pictures that appear in my brain. And then obviously I have the challenge of getting them onto paper, but that's how the process really kind of starts. And so the idea for the book, like, I started off sketching. It was really cold and dark. I think it was March that I read the original publication on the trees. And I was sitting in my dining room, which has side-facing windows. It's very dark. The fire was on. So I had my little torch going and I had a sketchbook. And I just started to kind of ponder if I could actually put a book plan together. But I've just always drawn. I've always loved drawing. And I'd say I'm very lucky to have a family that's just always supported, just, you know, encouraged me to just keep on trying and keep on improving. So more recently, I've done my diploma with the Society of Botanical Artists. I'm also with the Association of Botanical Artists, who is sort of for everyone everywhere of all abilities is their tagline. And I just find the places that suit me well. And when I first moved to the island, actually, the one that started me on over here is the Isle of Man Art Society, because they have member sessions. And I moved over with no friends, didn't know anybody. And I turned up there on a Tuesday evening and just started to meet like-minded artists. And again, that's kind of ingrained me into the Isle of Man way of life.
And you give art tuition as well. But you were saying, I think, that with the project, as it's been running for a little while, you've not had much time to do that side of things. So you'll be able to throw yourself back into that side of it now.
Yes. So the diploma in the book, it wasn't intended for them to actually run concurrently, but they did. And so I was quite busy for a while. So I'm hoping now the book is finished, the diploma's finished, I can actually get back to a little bit of teaching. It usually happens after the summer, September time, when the schools go back, and that's when we really throw ourselves back into everything. So that's the plan.
The book, as I mentioned, is published by Lochton Books of Macleod. How did that relationship come about?
I mean, when you have an idea for, hey, I'm going to write a book, and I message a few friends, and they were like, that's a very rosy thing to say. But there were a couple who said, yeah, I'm sure you could do it. And so I put these sketches together, and I emailed out to Lockton, because I wanted someone on Ireland that, again, was kind of invested in the Manx way of life and our, you know, the place that we live. And Sarah and George obviously got back to me, and they are just like absolutely wonderful people who have supported me and given me a lot of guidance as well, because I've never written a book before, never illustrated a book. I say I didn't really know what I was doing. I really didn't know what I was doing. And they were really just so supportive and just guided me through every step, you know, right from the, I've got some ideas, what do you think, to flashing it out and just, yeah, foot to what you now see in the shops.
And as I say, it's a very attractive publication with your illustrations. So have you any more books in mind?
Well, I did say we'd see how this one goes first. One of my friends did say to me when I sort of was working on this, oh, you totally need to do birds and fauna next. Like, if you've done flowers, then yeah, animals has got to be the next one. So yeah, there's potential for more. I mean, there's nowhere near all of the plants in the island on this book. I had to draw a line somewhere, or I would have still been doing this in 10 years time. So I had to kind of go, this is what I can do within the deadlines I have. So yeah, whether it's animals, whether it's more plants, I'm sure there's potential after a bit of a break. I think it was quite hard work.
Well, Rosemary Greening, Moira Sawley, congratulations on your book. As good am I more, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Rosemary Greening, the author and illustrator of Blooming Marvellous, Manx Wildflowers, A Botanical Journey, which has just been published by Lockton Books at £11.95. Tomorrow, Friday the 8th of August and Saturday the 9th, the Royal Manx Agricultural Show is being held at Nocalo, opening at 9:30 each morning and going through to 5:30. Tickets for the Friday are £8 and for Saturday they're £10. Tickets for children aged between 4 and 16 on both days are just £1. There will be animals being shown, working dogs, the country crafts and arts, vintage machinery, exhibitors and displays of all kinds throughout the 2 days, including the Outlaws Equine Stunt Show and Spike Wilson's International Lumberjack Show. Trey Hugs Savia Morrison Brastel and Airborne on St Pertna Hinge, Son Slider Inzaker Gilg, Huggy Era Dunya Mundra Edmund Goodwin, Discrew Skrewn and Sonshen. Bad Skrewet de Inu Image Jower of Ordu, as Hraney and Furley John Clegay de Vishaka Ad. As Bad Kurt Mach uns Nike Jegas Nen, uns Leo Veg, as an Enamori uns Gilg, Lasunen uns Chinian Amara Elian Vannen. Yorish and Cheshach Helchach ega Scruder Edmund Edward Fournier Dalb as an Inad ega Divlin. Hug and Cheshach Gilgach Machi Nilurkshen, Mer First Lessons in Manx. As Tad Farrakhton Eir Clowey Treby Te Imachach. Nalain Shaw Unsanacht Hai El Yazaka Uns Nike Jeg Tree Feeders Queg, Yorish Robert Thompson. Unse Roy Red and Hid Kermach, to Edmund Goodwin A. Heden Gray, Nach Veln Lassoon and Ginu Sus Sledden Grammadus Gilgach, Ach Tad Delue, de Her Pua de Piachabi, Delia and Vibel, as a Nur Fadja on Skilg. Nalan Short, a Rice Smoodelure and Delia on Skilg, as Tan Ang Hasless Murellatorn, Nach Vele Esli, de Frau Feathern Shan Hope and Jaylurin. To ram jow clowet na lern shaw, ach to ram stu e linya nis. These days, the World Wide Web has made it possible to share many texts in Manx, as well as courses to help people build up a working knowledge of the language. The other great advantage of this is that sound files are available, so people can hear the words for themselves. Hitherto, there was only the written phonetic guide in J.J. Neen's 1938 Manx English Dictionary and in John Gell's 1954 Conversational Manx. And people are able to join in Manx lessons on the web in real time. This is something that Engrenada Culture Van and Manx Language Development Officer Ruth Kegan-Gell has been involved in. But in recent years, she's also held a Manx language summer school for people to come to the island. And here she is to introduce two of her students.
I'm sitting with Lauren Collister and Jonathan Hills, Fastamide.
Fastamide.
Both Lauren and Jonathan live in Pittsburgh in the state of Pennsylvania in America, and they're over here specifically for the Manx Language Summer School by Culture Van and Skull Sauri. I wanted to ask them, what made you start learning Manx? I'll start with Lauren first. What drew you to learn the Manx language?
I have a Manx last name. Collister is a good Manx name. My great-grandmother had a couple of words of Manx, we think, but she didn't know they were Manx. She just thought they were words her family said. My family has always said we were Irish, which is obviously not exactly correct. And when I learned that our history was Manx and that our name came from this island, I got really interested and curious about the culture, the history, and the language, of course. So I am a linguist by training. I have several degrees in linguistics. I've studied linguistics for a long time. So when the opportunity came for me to study a language that not only had significant cultural meaning, but also was related to my heritage, I was really interested in taking the chance. And you know, I started reading books, I got a couple of textbooks, I went to the Learn Manx website, tried to learn on my own, but it was really during lockdown in 2021 when the Culture Van and lessons went on Zoom that I got the opportunity to join in and actually learn live and talk to people and learn from a real instructor. So that was when I really started in 2021.
So how have you found being on the island and obviously, how have you found this week?
It's transformative. When you actually get to have a conversation with somebody at the pub or at the concert or on the street on Peel Hill, we had conversations in Manx, and having to produce in a conversation and be able to say something interesting is totally different from a classroom setting, whether you're on Zoom or in, you know, the Tide of A or in Culture Van. And so, you know, it's, on the one hand, I have many hours of intense learning in the morning, but then in the afternoon, I get a chance to just practice on one-offs and have my mind be able to switch and pull the language up, you know, when I need it. It's truly transformative for language learning. For anybody who's ever learned a language in a classroom and then gone to the place where they actually speak it, you know that when you actually get there, the work of speaking the language with other speakers is completely different from memorizing your vocabulary or learning your sentence structure. So this has been truly transformative for me.
How have you found it, Jonathan, as a sort of like in the deep end as well? Because you've been learning from Lauren, but how have you found being in the classes?
The classes are great. It's great speaking to native speakers and other learners. The week here has been a whole lot of fun. The Isle of Man is just a fun place. It's a different vibe from what I'm used to. Being here in the week of Nkrunacht and being around a little bit more of the culture has been fantastic. Hearing the music was a lot of fun for me. Hanging out in the pub while everyone's playing was fantastic. But it's been a good week.
Well, I'm going to say Tarshu Bakdus Manan. Come back to the Isle of Man. It's been absolutely wonderful having you here. Thank you for talking to me. Gurumayosan Chithas Lotrum. And if you are interested in the summer school, Culture Bannon's Manx Language Summer School, you can visit www.learnmanx.com/summer school and find out how to get involved in the Year of the Manx Language 2026. Blaine Nagilga.
Ruth Kegan-Gell and two of her students at this year's Manx Language Summer School, Lauren Collister and Richard Hills. Ruth later spoke to Phil Gorn about people who go along to the Manx Language Summer School, but Ruth was also with someone who's no stranger to the island, Natalie Nick Him, who spent a number of years at Queen's University in Belfast, where she learned Irish and Scottish Gaelic as well as Manx, and much more, as you'll hear.
Nancy's treat, cat, treat, treat, treat,
some people who
are obviously connected to the island, who maybe live away now, and this is the best time for them to come over and do sort of intensive learning. But other people are interested in minority languages in general, or just languages in general as well, and see that supporting minority languages and learning them is really, really useful and beneficial. So that's, I think, some of the reasons why people have learned, as well as having a connection to the island. And actually, I was going to bring Natalie in on this point.
I first came to the island when I was at university and I was studying Celtic studies. So Irish was my main subject. I did a little bit of Scots Gaelic and Welsh too. I took an interest in Manx because of my family connection. My granddad's grandmother's grandmother is on the 1901 and 1911 censuses as a Manx speaker. So started to learn, made some wonderful mistakes along the way and met some fabulous people.
Why would you be interested in learning these languages?
I think it's important to have that connection with the past and with your place. And it opened up so many wonderful worlds like music, literature, history. Manx is like the key that ties it all together. And the same with Irish as well. It was that experience of opening up this whole culture.
We should also mention, I think, about her contribution to the Manx language, because far more than just being a speaker of the language, she's also contributed massively to things like the written word. So she translated The Gruffalo and The Gruffalo's Child into Manx, and that was published, would it be about 2013?
I think 2013, yeah.
And that's no mean feat, because of course the Julia Donaldson book is in verse, and then Natalie actually put it into Manx verse, which takes a heck of a lot of creativity and brain power to do. And you're going on a sort of a translation journey at the moment, aren't you? So doing Irish translations as well. So,
yeah, I'm hoping to get back into the translation a bit more on the sort of professional side of things again. And
which is wonderful.
How difficult is it translating stuff into Manx?
It depends a little bit on the content. I mean, the Gruffalo was a bit of a challenge because of the rhyme and because I wanted to keep the vocabulary at a level that would be appropriate for children and learners. The second Gruffalo book, I had a lot of help from Chris Sheard as the editor, and he was wonderful at suggesting things where my translations maybe weren't quite working, and he made some fantastic improvements, so that was very valuable. But yeah, translation, it depends really on the text.
Natalie also, as well as being able to speak Irish fluently and Manx fluently, is a very good Welsh speaker, and well, she's sort of shaking her head a little bit here, but I'm like, just take it, Natalie, you are good. And also has been learning Basque language for about 6 years, you were saying.
Yeah, about 6 years.
And what led you to sort of start learning Basque?
I think, again, like you say, it's the interest in minority languages, a bit of a solidarity for the smaller languages, and it's really interesting to see what they're doing with the language and perhaps get ideas from them. When I lived in Belfast, I actually lived with two Basque speakers, so I was exposed to it then, even if I only learnt how to order beer and say hello.
And for the uninitiated who maybe don't know where Basque is spoken, whereabouts is it? Because I think that can confuse people sometimes, can't it, where the Basque country is?
So the Basque country is located at the western end of the Pyrenees between France and Spain.
Yeah, so you find it across both countries, don't you? And what's the sort of infrastructure like for the Basque language? I know we're kind of going way away from Gilg, but there we're in Basque now. What's it, have they got a television channel? Have they got radio stations? So is it much more infrastructure than Manx, for example?
There is a television channel, but it's not exclusively in Basque. There's Basque radio. Because the language is spread over three sort of legal jurisdictions, they don't receive any support from France. In Navarre, they have some level of support, quite limited. And then in the Basque Autonomous Community, they receive a great deal more support. But in the north, for example, in the French side of the Basque country, they have to fundraise for the Basque language schools. They organise a big marathon around the Basque country.
Very similar to Breton, isn't it? Basically, the French state was founded on the principle that there is one language, and that's French. Yeah. And it's just tough if you happen to speak a different language.
You, as a friend, obviously, of Manx, and have translated not only The Gruffalo's Child, and also many other things. Like, you really love translating songs, don't you? Sometimes you've sent me things like, I've translated Frozen, or, you know, I've translated... I think you did you not do Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen at one point? And I thought, oh, that's a good challenge for me as a singer.
Absolutely.
Haven't learned it yet, but might do. But no, it's brilliant to hear why you are learning other minority languages and supporting them.
And now that you've mentioned, Ruth, about the Bohemian Rhapsody translation, we're just going to have to do it, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to have to, for the year of the Manx language, we're going to have to create.
I've been working on Immigrant Song as well.
Oh my
so
goodness.
That would be
very good.
Well, there you are. Yes, well, you heard it first on Radio Manx Limited. Sometime during the year of the Manx language, we're going to perform Bohemian Rhapsody and
Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song.
Right. Well, there you go. Any guitar players out there that fancy joining us said.
This is how new bands are born, Phil.
Well, it
this
is isn't it? Yeah, yes. What a brilliant, I think it's a great idea. My mind is full of thought as to how we could do a Manx version of Bohemian Rhapsody in Manx, but using traditional instruments perhaps, or we could really do something like
how
that.
How did you translate Scaramouche, by the way? Did you leave it
I think
Scaramouche?
It stayed as Scaramouche.
Scaramouche, yes.
Yes,
I was wondering.
Yes,
Fandango? I believe that stayed as Fandango.
Ruth Kegengale, Phil Gorn and Natalie Nick Him. Next Wednesday, the 13th of August, between 1 and 2 o'clock in the Villa Marina Arcade in Douglas, you can hear Liz Harrison playing the Wurlitzer organ. Liz is one of the Blackpool Tower Wurlitzer team. All are very welcome and there's no admission charge for that concert, part of the Isle of Man Arts Council summer season. Also next Wednesday in Douglas at 7:45, the concert in St Thomas's Church will be given by the Summer Singers with their conductor Sue Kinraid. There's no admission charge. There'll be a retiring collection and refreshments will be available after the concert. A shene vayan kermach shorje shachler. That's it from Shachler. So from me, a shen vo Marilyn Crellin, sledden you.